Testament, 2 Peter, if you'll look there with me. Praise God for his word and what an encouragement that the word of the Lord is in our lives. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. To be like Jesus, that's what we're asking the Lord today to encourage us to be more like him. To be more like him. That's our ultimate goal, is it not? Lord, to be like you. That's our desire. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this second letter of Peter is a general epistle, meaning it wasn't written to any particular church. It's just written to all believers. So you and I are included in the message and the importance of the message of 2 Peter. Peter gives us such great encouragement because we have, just from the experience and the witness of his life, we see Peter has come from really a pretty low place to become this mighty, powerful apostle in the church. And so it should encourage you to know that you can grow up in the things of the Lord. You can become more than you are. You can set your sights on becoming more like Jesus, to be more like him. And that should be what we're all aspiring to be. Lord, help me to be like you. And Peter, we know that he had a lot of failures, weakness in the early days of his walk with Jesus. But it didn't stop him. It didn't keep him from pressing on and eventually coming to the place that he is this really important leader in the church that God used mightily. So God can use you. And some of you that may be thinking, I could never be like an apostle, I could never be a man of God or a woman of God, don't allow those doubts to creep into your heart. But be encouraged today to know that if Peter can become this mighty, powerful man of God, then you can as well grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and you can grow up and become something that God can use mightily for his glory. Amen. Amen. Peter was overconfident in the face of danger. He ignored warnings from the Lord. Peter rushed ahead when he should have waited. Peter slept when he should have prayed. Peter talked when he should have listened. Peter was careless when he should have been cautious. But thank God, he learned and he grew and he didn't stop. He didn't quit. He kept on pressing forward, and he didn't allow his failures to define him or to stop him. He just kept moving forward. So be encouraged today. You may feel like, I'm just not what I wish I could be. I don't feel like I'm a man of God. I don't feel like I'm a woman of God. Well, don't get discouraged. Don't stop where you are. Understand that if you set your eyes upon Jesus, you can become more like him every day. Amen. You can grow and gain and make progress. And he did. Peter grew and matured and become such a mighty apostle and such a mighty leader in the church. And it encourages us today to understand that God can take you where you are right now. And if you'll just say yes to the Lord, if you'll just be willing to obey the voice of the Lord, God can shape you and work in your life and create something in you far greater than you could ever imagine. He can do with your life so much more than you could ever imagine if you set your focus upon Jesus to become more and more like him. Actually, even here in this introduction to this book, you can kind of get a little insight into the progress that Peter made. He calls himself Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Simon was his old name. And then Jesus changed his name. You remember the story, the account, Matthew chapter 16. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he said, well, who do you say that I am? And it was Peter, Simon Peter, that spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter, even with his weaknesses, Peter with his failures and all the things, the shortcomings in his life, he had a little insight into who Jesus was, and he set his eyes on becoming more like him. And so he said that day, you're Peter now. You're Peter. You're a rock. You have been pretty wishy-washy. You have failed and messed up a lot of times. But Peter and Jesus saw what Peter could become. Amen. Aren't you glad that when he sees you and he sees me, he doesn't see us in our weaknesses or what we are, but he sees the potential of our life. He sees what we could be, what we can be, if we'll just focus upon Jesus and becoming more like the Lord. So he said, I'm Simon Peter. He starts, Simon Peter. Simon Peter. He's describing Simon, the name Simon means hearer. But he was a man of a lot of failure and a lot of weakness, and so he was a hearer, but he needed to take that beyond just hearing to the place of action and doing the word of the Lord. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So he said, you're going to become a rock. You're going to become, now he's not the first pope, as some in the Catholics believe that he was the first pope. No, we don't believe that. We just believe that he became solid. We believe he became a rock. He became firm in his conviction. This guy that was so up and down and so many failures and so much weakness in his life, Jesus said, you're going to become a rock. You're going to be stable. You're going to be strong. And you're going to become something that you are not yet. And that's what God can do in your life. Amen. If you'll allow him to do that. So he said, I was Simon and then Peter the rock. And then he said in this introduction, he said, I am a servant. It's interesting because it's a word that means bond slave, a bond slave. And a bond slave was someone that had been a slave, according to Exodus 21. He'd been a slave for 6 years. And after 6 years, he had his complete freedom, it says in Exodus 21. And that if he so desired, he could walk away with his freedom. He said, even if you've got a wife and children, they can all walk away with you and be free. But a bond slave says, no. You can read about it, Exodus 21. A bond slave says, no, I love my family and I love my master. And I want to stay here. I want to commit myself as a bond slave. The Bible says that then the master would take that bond slave into the marketplace, and before all the people, he would bore a hole in his ear. And that then would be a mark of distinction, that everywhere that anyone would see that bond slave, they would know that he belonged to the master. It was a mark of distinction that he was a bond slave. He was not forced or compelled, but now out of love, he was now serving his master. Peter is saying, that's what I am. I'm a bond slave. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm not forced to do it. I'm not compelled to do it. I want to do it. I have a heart to become this bond slave, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I tell you, what every one of us need to do is to commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that the place in his ear, there was a hole that was bored, bored in his ear, and to signify a mark of distinction, but also in his ear to let everybody know that my ear is toward the voice of the master. My ear is in tune with the voice of the master. And that's the call of God for all of us. And so Peter was a weak failure who became a solid rock and a bond slave. And then he said, and an apostle. I'm now called. So you see, just in those first few words of 2 Peter chapter 1, that Paul described the progression of his experience with Jesus. This is what I was, but this is what I became. Now I'm an apostle. Now I'm commissioned of the Lord. Now I have a call of God and a work to do. Now I'm sent forth to do the work that God has called me to do. And every one of us here in this service today, if you have been born again, born by the Spirit and saved, really born again, then he has begun a work in your life. And if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll be amazed at how that you can progress and grow in your commitment with the Lord. And that's what happened to this great man of God, Simon Peter, a bond servant, and now an apostle of Jesus Christ. And to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now you'll notice in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter that the apostle Paul loves to use that word precious. He uses it about 7 times in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And you don't see it that much in other places in the New Testament, but he loves that word precious, like precious faith. And really, it's kind of his signature word, because what he saw was the value and the great cost and the preciousness of what Christ had done for him and how that he had brought him so far. And so every time that he mentions his faith or he mentions the things that are precious to him, he mentions it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He calls it the precious blood of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, he talks about Christ, the chief cornerstone, and how that it is precious and elect, and that those that put their confidence in him, he is precious. And then 1 Peter 2 and 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is precious to us. And so that's how we grow, when we understand the great value of who Jesus is. Isn't it a sad thing that people use the name of Jesus Christ as a cuss word? It seems like it has become the popular cuss word now, that people will say Jesus. They'll say Christ, defaming dishonoring the name of Jesus Christ. But if you want to be like him, then you'll honor him and you'll understand how precious it is to know the Lord and to follow the Lord. To be born again is a wonderful and a precious thing. And so he's now talking to those of like precious faith. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about all the brothers and sisters that were living at that time, and all of those of us who join in that same company of those who have like precious faith. It's shared by every believer. We all understand that this confidence, this faith that we have in Jesus, it is precious. And our standing with Jesus Christ is just the same as it was the apostles. Sometimes we think of the apostles as being these great spiritual giants that have accomplished so many wonderful things. And we look at them and wonder, how could we ever become any more than we are right now? But you have to remember that these guys were just fishermen, commoners, that they didn't have any special natural abilities. But the Bible says that when the Sanhedrin saw those disciples, saw them standing up boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They were just like you and me. They were commoners just like you and me, but they had power with God because they knew Jesus and they had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then you'll also notice in this chapter that Paul, he talks a lot about math here. He talks about things that are being added to your life and things that are being multiplied your life because you know the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have the knowledge of the Lord right here in the Word of God. We have possession of it. And as you focus your attention on Jesus and upon the truths of God's Word, then he just starts adding to your life, multiplying things to your life, giving to you more and more and more and more. This knowledge of the Lord that he talks about a lot here in 2 Peter is not head knowledge, it's experience. It's an experiential knowledge. You know the Lord. It's a personal thing as you walk with the Lord and know the Lord. Amen. And isn't it true that as longer that you serve God, the more that you grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and the more he just keeps adding things to your life, blessing your life, giving to you in ways that you could never, ever imagine. The song says, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Amen. If you don't know the Lord, I just encourage you today, you need to try Jesus. Amen. The things of the world, you'll just come up empty. You'll come up your heart so void of any joy and any fulfillment or happiness. But if you'll serve the Lord, if you'll make him the focus of your life and the Word of God, the attention of your life, then God will begin to add. That's Peter's math that he talks about here in chapter 1. He just keeps adding and keeps adding and keeps multiplying all these wonderful things that come to your life. Bill Gaither wrote a song that says, if he keeps on blessing and blessing, if he keeps on pouring it on, if his love just keeps getting richer, if he keeps on giving a song, if my cup gets fuller and fuller, if my prayer keep on getting through. If he keeps getting better and better, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I've served the Lord a long, long time. And let me tell you, it's not without trials. It's not without setbacks and tough times along the way. But I have to give this testimony today. It just keeps getting better. It just gets better and better. And praise God for the goodness and the blessing of the Lord in our life. In every area of your life, God adds, and God does not subtract. The only thing he subtracts are the things that will distract you from your commitment to Jesus. The only thing he subtracts will be those things that that might hinder your walk with God, and the things of the world and the distractions around us. Sure, he might take some of those things away from you, but you're never going to give up too much. And God is always going to be adding to your life and blessing your life and multiplying so many wonderful things in your life if you will just give yourself to the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's how God works, isn't it? That's how he works in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you're born again today, he has provided for you everything you need to grow up and to become what you need to be. Now, when a little baby is born, little babies are born and they have, you know, when you look at your newborn baby, you count the fingers to make sure there's five and make sure there's five toes on each foot, and you inspect the baby and everything's wonderful. And of course, everybody's babies, especially your grandbabies, are perfect, and nothing is wrong with them. They're perfect. Thank God for that. But you know, in that little baby, there is the potential, while they're helpless and completely dependent, they've got a future. And that future is already in their DNA when they're born. Already, the potential of their life is already there. What they can become, what they could be, and what they will be, it's already there, created by God in them for their life and their future. The same thing is true whenever a person is born again. Amen. You may feel like, I'm so far behind. I don't know that I could ever be the man of God or the woman of God that I would love to be. No, no, you were born again. And so it's built right into your heart. It's built right in by the grace of God and the mercy of God, that God has a purpose for you and a plan for you. And if you'll just keep your focus on Jesus and upon the truth of his word, you've got a future in Jesus. And you're going to grow up and become whatever God's calling or purpose is for your life. Amen. It's such an encouraging thing to see little children grow up and mature over the years, and to see them mature to be young men and women of God. Oh, what an encouragement it is when we see children and young people become men and women of God, and we watch their progress and they make. God can work in such amazing ways in your life if you'll just keep him at the center of your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God just wants to bless you. Amen. As I said, this chapter is all about what he can add to you. Peter's math in chapter 1. What he will add to you, what he will multiply in your life. God can do such wonderful things. Praise God. Charles Spurgeon, that famous English preacher, wanted to be a blessing. He had a burden to help George Mueller with his children's home. Mueller took care of hundreds of orphans. And so Spurgeon was on his heart to help them, and the Lord put it on his heart to give 300 pounds to Mueller and to the children's home. It was almost everything that he had. The equivalency of the 300 pounds to today's currency would be about $9,000. It was almost all that he had that the Lord put on his heart to give, and so he took it. Traveled to where Mueller was at, and when he went into the building, Mueller was on his knees, and he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, George, the Lord told me to give you 300 pounds. And he stood up and said, well, praise God, I was just praying. I needed 300 pounds today. I was just praying that someone would respond and would help us to see this met. And so Spurgeon goes away so joyful that he had responded to give most of everything that he owned. He goes back to his home, goes into his study, and there on the desk is an envelope. In the envelope is 300 pounds and 300 shillings. That much more. It was like the interest on the money that was earned that quickly in that day. The exact amount was there on his desk. And Spurgeon said, this was a famous quote from Spurgeon. He said, I shovel out and God shovels in. And he has a bigger shovel than I do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It just keeps getting better and better. If you'll obey the Lord and serve the Lord and walk with Him and make Jesus the focus of your life, God can do some amazing things like He did through the life of this amazing Apostle Peter. He can do some things with you if you'll yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then he says in this, let me find it here. He says in this text, he says that, my pages have stuck together. There it is. No. What's happened to my Bible? It's all stuck together here. Maybe I don't need to cover that part. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Amen. And God wants to do just that, to work in your life and cause you to become something. Talks about, in that verse, talks about the exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. He uses the precious word again. Those great, precious promises. Do you know that someone has counted the promises that are in the Bible? There's 7,474 promises in the Bible, according to someone that counted them. I'll just take his word for it. All I know is that there is a lot of promises in this book, and they all belong to you and me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Every promise is yours to make yours personally. Amen. And as you grow in the knowledge of the Lord, then you can begin to claim these promises and cause them to become a reality in your life, whatever that they might be. Amen. Romans, let me give you a couple of promises from the book of Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Another one in Romans is all things are working together for good to those that love God and are called according to His promise. Psalm 91, there's promises like that He's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you and watch over you. In 1 Peter, the promise that by His stripes we are healed. In Isaiah 26, that He's promised to give us perfect peace if our mind is stayed on the Lord. I can't go all through all these promises. There's too many of them. I just know that they're yours and they're mine. And we need to look to Jesus and look to the Word of God and understand that this is just part of what God wants to add to your life every day. Every day to provide for you. So if you want to be like the Lord, then follow the example of this great man, Peter, and understand that He can bring you from way down here and lift you up and exalt you and empower you and anoint you to become whatever it is He's called you to be. You can be that through the power of the gospel. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I just pray, Lord, that those in this service, some that may be discouraged in their spiritual walk, they may feel like that they're just an infant in their progress. But Lord, help them to see that you have a plan for their life. There's good things, wonderful things that are in store for everyone that is willing to walk in faith and to believe you, God. So Lord, minister today and bring encouragement Lord, to everyone, where whatever stage or phase of spiritual growth that we're in, that we could always believe, Lord, the promise of God that you've got more in store for us if we keep our eyes upon you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.